This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with Jeff Kinley, reaching over 80 countries worldwide. It's time to go deep and grow strong. Now, here's Jeff.
Welcome to the Vintage Truth Podcast. And today is a very special day because this is my actually first interview with anyone on the Vintage Truth Podcast. You guys are used to just hearing my voice. And today we're going to bring in another voice, another very relevant voice, a good friend of mine. His name is Billy Hallowell, and you've probably heard of him. Billy is an incredible journalist. He's a Christian journalist who has his finger on the pulse of what's happening out there in the world. He has written just voluminously about everything from culture to politics to religion to everything out there. And he is currently the director of communications and content for PureFlix, a former senior editor of FaithWire, and also former faith and culture editor of Glenn Beck's The Blaze. He is a contributor to Fox News and The Washington Post, and you name it. Billy's been there. He has his finger in every pie that's out there in the culture. So, Billy, welcome to the Vintage Truth Podcast.
Well, thanks for having me. And I did not realize you told me this, and I had forgotten that I am the first guest. That's amazing. Thank you for that honor.
It is. Well, absolutely. Well, I don't know if it is an honor, but yeah, I'm just glad to have you. But Billy's also an author, and he has written a new book called Playing with Fire, A Modern Investigation into Demons, Exorcism, and Ghosts. And, you know, there are a few conversations that I have with people that are more intriguing than when they ask me about the other world, the evil world, the devil, the demons, can Christians be possessed, all these other things that come into this. But the book is really about pop culture's obsession with the demonic and what the Bible has to say about that. So really just walk me through, how in the world did you pick a topic like this? How did it come to you?
You know, it's one of those things where, you know, I covered so many stories when I was at The Blaze and at FaithWire, and many of these stories were your run-of-the-mill culture, faith, politics stories. But I would often encounter these stories about people who would say that they went through a possession or that their home had strange things happening in it. And these weren't just random stories. They were highly documented stories. They were claims that made you sort of raise your eyebrow. And even though we're Christians and we know these things are true and real, the first reaction most of us have when somebody claims these things is a little bit of skepticism or wanting to maybe know, can I believe that this is true? Can you give me enough information to prove to me that you're telling me the truth? And so I started to encounter stories like that, and I started to dig, and I started to, as a journalist, again, even though I'm a Christian and that's the lens through which I see everything, I would try to internally take the stories apart and try to say, okay, I'm going to find a way that they're not telling the truth here. Or maybe they believe that they went through this, but maybe there's some other explanation, because I know this is possible, but did this person really experience this? And in a few instances, I found myself up against a very strange wall where I wasn't able to find anything that would disprove the stories. In fact, I was finding that people who were there or who had experienced it were backing up what the people were claiming. And so when it came to book writing, I was working on a number of projects, and you know these projects. One was a book about the end times called Armageddon Code. And I really started to love this idea of taking a topic in the church, and maybe it's a topic that we talk about, but maybe we don't talk about it enough, or maybe there's some confusion about it, or disagreement. And with the end times, we know that that's the case. But we also know that when it comes to this issue of possession and the demonic, that there's a lot of mystery. There's a lot of people who don't talk about it within the church. There's avoidance even of the topic. And then there's debate. And so it was in the back of my mind that I wanted to tackle this, but I'll be fully honest with you. Despite being a lifelong Christian, the idea of writing a book about this actually freaked me out a little bit. And I prayed a little bit about it when the opportunity first came up to write a book like Playing with Fire. And I actually turned it down. And that was a couple of years ago. I was like, you know, this just doesn't feel right. But like the way that God works, he always brings you back to the things he wants you to do. And so I ended up having this offer dropped in my lap to reapproach this issue. And after 2 months of sitting on a book contract and really praying about it, I ended up diving into it.
Gosh, that's exciting. You know, I will remember when I was 15 years old, I took my girlfriend to see The Exorcist in a movie theater. And I may still have the scars in my arm where she dug her fingernails into my forearm there. It scared me to death. I was not a Christian at the time, and it made me believe that the devil was real. Mm-hmm. And so as you kind of investigated and dove into this whole subject, I mean, what did you find out there? I mean, are we seeing like instances and examples of demonic oppression and possession, and what's going on out there?
You know, I think we're seeing a lot of things. I mean, what you just asked is such a great question, and it's such a loaded question because, you know, you mentioned The Exorcist. What was so fascinating about that film is that a lot of times we like to sort of separate, and we should to a degree, pop culture from what is happening, obviously, in reality. But the reality of The Exorcist is that it was based on a book, and that book was based on a purportedly true story about a little boy. So the movie is about a girl. The book's about a girl. In real life, it was a boy named Robbie. And this particular boy went through many of the same things we see in the book and the movie. And that film was a real turning point in America and even globally on this issue, because it went from something that obviously is in scripture and that people would talk about to being burst into the entertainment realm. And obviously Hollywood does not talk about this issue in a theologically sound way. They don't present it in that way. That's not their goal. Their goal is to freak you out and scare you. But it was the first time that it was really being addressed. And ever since then, Hollywood has obsessively covered this. And when I say covered, they've made movies about it. I mean, every year we see these movies like The Conjuring being churned out, and we could talk more about that. But to get into the more real life aspect of all of this, you know, when you look at what is happening culturally right now, let's start there. I always go back to Ephesians 6. Since I started writing Playing with Fire, I've read Ephesians 6 a million times. I read it, I run through it, I'm done with it, and I move on. But I now have a new appreciation for it, because there's so much in Ephesians 6 that points us to something that is going on, that is a battle that we are not seeing with our eyes. We might be seeing the effects of that battle, and it's a battle over good and evil. And we are told that that battle is raging, and that many of us, we are consumed with this idea that other people are the enemy, right? I mean, that's what, look at what is happening right now in culture. It's all about other people being the enemy. And that's always been a fixture of human history. But right now, I think we're in an elevated period of blaming other people, hating other people, fighting with other people, assuming that if we just convince those other people or get rid of them or cancel them, that we're going to win this battle. And yet but scripture is telling us, no, we're in a battle over good and evil, and the real enemy is Satan and evil. And that, I think, we're seeing the result of that evil play out throughout our culture right now. We're seeing it play out at a 30,000-foot level, and it's really very, in some ways, scary to watch and bizarre to watch. We shouldn't be shocked by it because of what scripture tells us. And you know this better than anybody writing on so many of these end times and prophetic topics. So there's that going on. On an individual level, we are hearing from the Catholic Church. And I mentioned the Catholic Church because out of any denomination, okay, in the Christian realm, and I know there's a whole theological battle about where Catholics stand and whether people, I'm not even getting into that. What I'm saying is, Catholics keep the best records when it comes to exorcism because it's a top-down system for them, right? They have dioceses, they collect the data, and what they are seeing in many areas, especially in America, is a massive increase in the number of people who are reaching out to the Catholic Church for help. Mm-hmm. They believe that they are experiencing possession or spiritual oppression in some way, and they are looking for assistance. That is on the increase, and everybody across the world is seeing that. The Vatican has responded to that. In fact, in 2019, it was the first year, and I talk about this in the book, that the Vatican, every year they bring exorcists together, and that was the first year that they made a decision to bring exorcists and people who practice deliverance from other denominations to the Vatican to share ideas, that they realized this is such a problem, this is such there's such an increase that we actually need to share ideas with people outside of the Catholic Church. So yeah, that's a very long-winded answer to tell you that there's a lot going on right now in this realm.
Yeah, and you know, even as with the books that I've written, one of the things that we've documented is the fact that evil is growing, is that we're living in an age that where depravity is kind of expanding, and my catchphrase has always been, we're becoming like Mardi Gras on steroids, you know, in the world, just morally speaking. And so
I shouldn't laugh, but it's a great line. I mean, it's sad, but it's funny and true.
Yeah, it's kind of a loaded phrase there. But yeah, I mean, just you thinking about just people's delving into spirituality, I mean, I know that the nuns, the kind of the no religious affiliation group that are out there right now, is kind of the biggest group. But also you have people that are also getting into a lot of weirdness out there. Mm-hmm. What are some of the demonic areas where people are dipping their toes in the water and finding an alluring attraction there? What did you find in your research?
Yeah, that is such a great question. You know, scripture tells us put on the full armor of God, and people out there are doing the complete opposite. And a lot of people are doing this inside the church as well, right? Mm-hmm. So this is, and when I say this, what I'm referring to is consulting psychics. Again, this is not a new thing. We see it in scripture. We see it going back in the Old Testament. We're told not to do it, but there's been a real increase, it seems, especially in reality television. It's really fascinating to watch these reality shows, whether you're talking about The Real Housewives, you go down the line and people will dismiss these shows and laugh about it, but you're watching this bizarre fusion and this insertion of psychics in all of these shows. And the people are basically praising it. They're going and they're doing it. They're filming it. It's part of the show. And you're seeing that. You're also seeing an increase in entertainment, in particular, in the obsession with sort of like ghost hunting, right? And I think there's a way to tell stories. I mean, I tell stories in the book of possession and healing and all of that. But then there's a way to just scare people and to dive into things and to try to reach spirits that we're not supposed to be engaging in. And so you mentioned the nuns. What I find very fascinating, two things. One, people are moving away from faith, right? And they're finding themselves to be their own God. They're suddenly the arbiters of their own truth, which is very dangerous in every single way. And we know that it's dangerous. And because you end up with relativism, which isn't even a real thing anyway, because everyone has a line. But the point is, all the lines blur. And so you have that going on. You have a dynamic in which, though, people are still human beings and they're interested in wanting to know what else is out there, right? And so they're searching for answers. And that's what leads you to things like the Ouija board. And yes, most people pick up a Ouija board because they want to have fun and they're at a party with their friends or they're at a sleepover or they're, but for a lot of people, they're using the Ouija board because they legitimately want to communicate with what they believe to be dead individuals. They believe that this is a tool that will allow them to do that. And so there are a lot of things that are happening. Again, they're not new things, but the frequency with which these things are unfolding is A, very troubling. And when you lose that fear of the Lord, and when we use the word fear, you know, it's the reverence for the Lord. When you start to remove that from culture, why wouldn't you engage in these things? Yeah. But the irony is that you have this access to this amazing God, right? And culture has stripped all of that away and they pretend it doesn't exist, but yet we have that thirst still to connect with something, and people start to find these very unhealthy ways to do that.
That's so true. In fact, several years ago, we were in a neighborhood here in Little Rock, and our neighborhood had its own witch shop. It was a Satanist shop, basically. And I would go in there and you know, they had everything from potions to books to amulets to all these, you know, ways that you could, you know, connect with the other world and the spirits out there. And they even had little pamphlets, almost like gospel tracts, on here's how to contact a God, a spiritual God, through meditation and all this other stuff. And they weren't joking. I mean, this wasn't a novelty shop. It wasn't just a bunch of charlatans. These people were serious. In fact, the lady who ran the shop was actually a missionary who had a bishop over her that was here in the state, and she herself had been sent from the UK over here to plant this, you know, in essence, a satanic church. And all that to say is that, you know, people think, well, this is the Ouija board. It's just a little game, you know, Hasbro makes it or whatever, you know, it's okay. But it really does. I mean, when we open our minds up to something other than God, we make ourselves vulnerable to some of these evil spirits. And like you were saying, Billy, I mean, kind of the mantra of the age is you shall be as gods. I mean, everyone is following their own heart, loving yourself, all this stuff. That's the same lie that Satan had in the garden in deceiving Adam and Eve. You know, you can be as gods. And I think that might be part of the alluring, you know, attraction to evil, is that somehow there's power associated with it. Did you find that?
Absolutely. In fact, there are some stories that I encountered that I found incredibly disturbing, and I tell them in the book, but also really eye-opening. There's one guy named Rob who he shared that he had a very traumatic childhood. There was a lot going on in his childhood. And, you know, basically to summarize his story, he was looking for power. And it starts out very small. And for him, he found it in a game. And it was, you know, what would appear to be a harmless game to some. But it was a game that involved witchcraft. And for most people, that's not going to be a vice. It's not going to be, it's just entertainment for them, right? Watching something that has witches. I'm not saying practicing witchcraft. But in this case, it actually became something where he became obsessed with trying to find that same power that he was witnessing within this game. And as time went on, he found other people when he joined the military. So this is when he's older. He's not even a kid when this happens. He finds some other people who tell him, look, I've got this power. I have these spirit guides who help me. And he basically opens himself up and he describes in detail the night that this first happens. And that the person who is leading this, trying to bring the spirit guides in, and I know this might sound crazy to some people listening, but this person opens his mouth, starts speaking in another, you know, not in another language, in another voice, and that this was the beginning for Rob of a series of events that really changed his life. At first, he started to experience the ability to know things, right, that he didn't know before. It was almost like a psychic ability that he suddenly had once he started inviting what he thought were these spirit guides in. Now, keep in mind, a lot of people play with these things. They play with fire without really realizing that they're playing with the demonic, that they're messing around with something evil. So he's assuming this is something that's going to give him power and benefit his life. But the situation starts to devolve for him. And at first, his debts are getting paid off. He's getting all these things. Things are happening. He starts to find himself in a scenario where he goes to bed at night. His friends ask him to go out. He says, no, I can't go out. I've got to work tomorrow. He goes to bed, and then he opens his eyes, and he's sitting in a bar with a cigar in his hand, drinking a drink, and he has no recollection of how he got from his bed to that bar. Okay. Wow. So you start to have these moments. And so, you know, his story is phenomenal. He becomes a Christian later on, and has to move beyond this life that he is allowed, but there's a lot of trauma and chaos in the midst of that. So for a lot of people, it is about finding power. There are some people, and everybody knows this, who actually worship Satan. I mean, it goes that far for some, right? And now, now I think that's not the majority. The majority, if you like the woman you mentioned, I mean, these are people who are very embedded in this world, and they've made a decision to do an active, you know, worship of Satan. For a lot of other people, they've played with fire, they've opened doors, they've found themselves engaging in psychics and engaging in other activities that can really lead them down a path. And I can't tell you how many people, and it's so interesting to me, just as a human being, but also as a journalist, who have stories that they want to tell, but they're afraid to tell them because they don't want to be labeled crazy or weird, or they don't want, you know, and that's, I think, what holds the church back in some ways of addressing this as well.
No, I think you're absolutely right. In fact, we had a long conversation here a couple of weeks ago with some people who were asking me about an experience that I had. We had planted a church in this very area, right? In fact, about three blocks from this Satanist shop, we had planted a church. We were reaching, you know, Gen Xers and unchurched and that kind of thing. And during the time, the 10 years that we had this church, we experienced literally supernatural incidences in our home, in the building that we were renting for our church. There were audible things, there were visual things that happened to us that were unexplainable any other way than the supernatural. It wasn't, you know, imagination. It wasn't, you know, just things settling in the house kind of thing. These were real events that are very spooky, but we were never scared. And the reason we were never scared about any of these things, because we knew what they were. And once you recognize, you know, when you try to do something great for God, especially in an area that is territorially, you know, a demonic stronghold, then you're going to draw fire from the enemy. But we knew it was the enemy, so we weren't scared any of the time. We just go, oh, there's another one, you know, kind of thing.
Yes.
A lot of Christians would really be freaked out because they're not wearing their armor and they're not prepared for this kind of thing. So yeah, it's real. It's deceptive. It can be alluring. It's dangerous. But Christians have to have their armor on. What would you say, Billy, would be one thing that Christians could do to sort of insulate themselves from being susceptible to this sort of satanic attack?
You know, I think this is going to sound so simple. you when it says put on the full armor of God, right? And you go back to Ephesians 6, that's become sort of my life verse at this point, Ephesians 6, 11. You know, it says put on the full armor of God so that you could take your stand against the devil's schemes. And that means be a Christian, live a Christian life, wake up, do devotionals, pray with your family, not just because you're doing actions, but you're actually living it. And it's part of who you are. And when you have authority over these things, you don't need to be afraid of them. When I sat on a book contract for 2 months because I was too afraid to write it, that is a lack of faith. That is because I was not putting on that full armor. I was not, and I will tell you this, and I've admitted this on podcast. You and I have known each other for a long time, for a while now. And I've always been a Christian. You've known that. But I allowed success in life and other things to get ahead of my faith and to take the place of the things that I should have been doing. And so I wouldn't do daily prayer and devotionals. I'd do them once a week. I would fit them in whenever I could. Everything else came first. And when I started writing this book, I knew that if I was going to dive into this topic, that I wanted to make sure I was putting on that armor, that I was just living that Christian life. It's very basic. And it transformed everything. I mean, I have the most peace that I've ever had in my faith after writing a book about Satan and evil. And, you know, so now every morning I have not stopped. You know, every weekday morning I am doing a devotional before I do anything else. I mean, I get coffee first and I might read the news quickly on my way down to my office, but I'm doing my devotional first. And so my encouragement to people would be, I think we need to be Christians and live it, but we need to talk about these topics. They're uncomfortable topics. They're hard to talk about, but we don't need to be afraid of them. I think the fear comes from A, we're not doing what we need to be doing, right? Putting on that armor, but B, not really understanding this, because when I isolated scripture out and looked at who Satan is, when I looked at all the examples, and I present them in Playing with Fire, of people who have been healed from possession by Jesus, right? And we see that throughout, and not just Jesus, by Paul and others. When you read those examples and you understand evil, it points you back to your need for good. And that was something that was so eye-opening to me, just like for you and the work that you do, when you're looking at eschatology and when you're looking at the end times, how it points you back to the gospel in its entirety, and it pulls those pieces together in an amazing way. And so I think sometimes in the church today, we're so stuck in the material because culture is that we don't want to think about these other things. But guess what? They're happening and they're affecting the material world around you.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Bible does say that Satan is a roaring lion. 1 Peter 5, I think it's verse 8, seeking whom he may devour. It's not seeking whom he may tickle. You know, he's going to devour us and he's out to destroy us. Satan wants to ruin and wreck our lives as Christians. So as you said, Billy, we need to be connected to God every day, to be tethered to him, to be anchored to the word of God and the scripture, so that we can know, A, that when those winds of temptation, those winds of evil come against us, we're not going to fall over because we've got a strong foundation. And as you said earlier, I mean, the weapons of our warfare are not against other people. They're not against flesh. Our people are not our enemy. It's the devil. It's evil itself that is our enemy. And so this book, Playing with Fire, really does address those issues. It not only takes you into that world and helps you understand some actual real life cases of people that have experienced this, but it also talks about how we as a culture are slipping into this sort of quicksand of evil. And then it takes us to the end. What I love about your book, Billy, it takes us to the end. It shows us how we as Christians can kind of understand how to fight this and how to put on that armor of God, how to make a spiritual impact on our culture and extinguish the flames of evil. And that's what it's all about. So I want you guys to check out Billy's book. It's called Playing with Fire: Modern Investigation into Demons, Exorcism, and Ghosts. And Billy, where can people get this book?
So, you know, Walmart, Amazon. Every time I bring up Amazon, you know, there's a lot of sensitivity there right now, but you can get it wherever, right. Wherever books are. I would say, you know, playingwithfirebook.com. There's a couple of audio interviews that you get there as well. So it's fun. You get to kind of hear from some of the people in the book in their own words.
Awesome. And tell us quickly about your podcast and how we can listen to that.
Absolutely. So the Edify with Billy Hollowell podcast, you can listen pretty much on any platform. If you go to Edify, it's EDIFI/podcasts. You will find it there. And I bring that address up because you will also find Jeff Kinley there, which is exciting. That's and right. a number That's of right. other really wonderful shows. There's another great show called Prophecy Pros as well.
I've heard of that one. Yeah, I've heard of that one. It's a pretty good show there. Half of it is anyway. So That is great. Well, Billy, thank you so much for being on the Vintage Truth Podcast as the inaugural, very first ever guest.
Thank you.
We are very excited to have had you on, but more than that, just excited to partner with you in ministry and to be your friend. And God bless you and everything that you're doing out there for Christ.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.